Let us open God's Word this morning as we remain standing and invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of Numbers chapter 6. Our text this morning is from the 6th chapter of Numbers, verses 22 through 27. Let us hear God's Word. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Thus ends the reading of God's Word from Numbers chapter 6. Let us go to the Lord and pray for his illumination this morning. Our Father in heaven, we do not approach your word presumptuously, but we do approach your word confidently, knowing that it's your word. And we know that you are pleased to apply your word to the hearts of your people, for you have written it for their sake. So, Father, we pray now that you give us attentive ears, but more than that, spiritual ears that hear. We ask, Father, that you would give us spiritual eyes to see and behold the wonders of you in your word. Apply this text to our hearts, we pray. And may you, Father, help us who are disciples of your dearly beloved Son to know that we truly are blessed of thee. For we pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Few things can cheer the heart of a child like hearing favorable words from a father. The Lord has created us in such a way that a child not only needs to feel that he or she is loved, that he or she is cherished by her parents or his parents, but he or she needs to hear those affirming words. "I love you. I cherish you. I adore you. My favor's on you." Each of us as God's children desire to be blessed of God. We want desperately to hear the voice of God say unto us, as a father unto a child, "My favor is upon you. I love you. I bless you." At the end of each of our worship services, you will notice that the minister stands and raises his arms and gives what is called a benediction. Benediction is simply a compound word from the Latin, bene, which is good, diction, which is speak. So it would mean good words, or to speak something that is good, speak something that's well. Indeed, we find in Genesis chapter 1, at the close of each of the 6 days of creation, we essentially find a bene diction, where God makes a declaration that something is good. Coincidentally, when you get to the second chapter of Genesis, you have your very first malediction, where God says, "It is not good that man be alone." So benediction is to speak bene. It's to speak good. It's to speak the good. It isn't begging for something from God as if another prayer in the service is being offered. Rather, as the one representing the Lord's voice in the assembly of his people, or to use Calvin's language, God's mouthpiece, the minister speaks in the name of the Lord, bestowing the very blessing that is so desired, that is so needed to be heard by God's people. It isn't another, "Well, so long, farewell, that's the end, see you next time when we meet." No, it is actually a solemn act. It is a solemn act of a pronouncement of a blessing. It is a declaration of a blessing. It's a solemn bestowal of divine blessing upon God's people. It's good for us to revisit this aspect of worship and from time to time to consider its grand significance for our own life and walk as Christians. One of the most significant benedictions that you find in all of Scripture is right here in the sixth chapter of the book of Numbers, where we're given the words that Aaron and his sons, the priests, were called by God through Moses, was called upon to speak. They were called to pronounce something over the people of God. And notice in verse 23, this is crucial. You need to see this with your eyes. Look at verse 23. It says, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel.'" But now look at verse 27. "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." So which is it? He says to Aaron and his sons that you will bless, but then you get to verse 27 and it says, "I will bless" when they do that act, when they do that solemn pronouncement. Well, what we see here is that while the vessel used by God is the pronounced blessing by a human voice, what stands behind that voice is ultimately God, who is using that vessel for him to bestow the blessing, you see. It is he that's blessing his people through this vessel of a human voice that is pronouncing the blessing. It's a conduit of God's blessing through his representative of his voice to his people. The people, you see, were comforted in knowing that the priests were but representatives of the voice of God. They weren't speaking on their own behalf. And any pronouncement or bestowal of blessing ultimately wasn't coming from that representative, but it rather was God himself. In fact, one of the most climactic moments in Israel's history is Leviticus chapter 9. It's actually perhaps the most climactic point in the entire Pentateuch, that immediately after the priests were initially consecrated and ordained, the very first act that Aaron performs after his ordination is, the scripture says this, "Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them." The first act of Aaron after his ordination was that act, a solemn blessing upon God's people. The benediction before us here in Numbers chapter 6 is very simply laid out. There's three lines with two parts. You can think of them as basically three couplets. And with each line, we find at the beginning an evoking of God's blessing. And then the second line of that couplet concerns the reality of that blessing that's being invoked. So let's consider each of these three couplets, and we'll see how the first line invokes the blessing. The second line actually concerns the reality of the blessing that's invoked. Well, the first one here says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." The Lord bless you and keep you. Now, you'll notice in verses 24, 25, and 26, they all begin with the same two words. Did you notice that? The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Once again, this has God's voice behind it. God's doing something here. And you'll notice that the word Lord is in all capital letters. Well, for a more depth, insight, and concentration on the divine name, you'll need to wait till this evening, because we're spending a great deal of time this evening on the Tetragrammaton, which is the name of God. And he includes it here in all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which is pointing to a specific name by which God was called. And just suffice it to say for this morning's purposes that that is God's covenant name. It concerns God's covenant with his people. Now, why that's so important is that when one is in covenant with another, that covenant has two sides to it. Any and all covenants have two sides to it. There is the blessing side of that covenant and the cursing side of that covenant. And what's being really accented here in Numbers chapter 6 is the contrast of blessing with cursing. You don't find the word curse anywhere in here. God is not speaking unto his children and invoking a curse upon them. To be a recipient of God's curse would be to be outside of God's special dealings. It would be to be outside of his favor, his love, his concern, his bestowal of good, bene, you see. But one who is a recipient of his blessing includes the assurance of God's bestowal of the bene, his bestowal of good upon his people. He promises to seek your welfare, not to seek your ill. He guides all the details of your life according to his perfect providence, superintending every place that you go, superintending every job in which you labor, every life with which yours intersects, with every stop sign at which you stop, with every hair that falls off of your head. And he superintends all of those details of your life for bene, for good, for your blessing, you see. And just as he provides all good things, he also is the one who keeps you, the one who guards you, the one who protects you from the enemy, who would deprive you of good. And that's the reason it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. This reminds us of Psalm 121. If you recall, sometimes Psalm 121 is referred to as the keeping psalm. The reason it's referred to as the keeping psalm is because of the repetition of the same Hebrew word for keep. Where the psalmist, he's walking, if you recall, through dangerous mountains where there's great danger. And so here the psalm takes up this dangerous, threatening environment. And the psalmist says, I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heavens and the earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. That's the word keep there. He shall preserve your soul. Keep your soul. It's the same word. The Lord shall keep your going out. He will keep your going in from this time forth and forevermore. See, he's highlighting again the God who is your God, is your protector. He's the one that keeps you and guards you. Or shall we not forget the words of the Lord Jesus himself? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The Lord will guard you. The Lord will keep you from any harm to your soul. So the Lord that declares his blessing upon you is the same Lord who's going to keep you. And brothers and sisters, he wants you to hear that with your ears. He wants you to hear that and to know that every time that you're in his presence. The Lord bless you and keep you. He goes on in verse 25. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Scripture often speaks of the face of God as the equivalent of the presence of God. God's face is depicted in this particular text as a sunshine that's shining down upon you. What imagery! It's like in Proverbs 16, we read, in the light of the king's face is life. it may be helpful to us to describe the imagery in the opposite fashion. You know, what would the opposite be of God's face shining upon you? Well, the opposite would be his face being hidden from you. Oh, the Lord's face being hidden? Well, what's being declared here to you, God's people, is the Lord's face is not hidden from you. The Lord's face shines upon you. The Lord's not far off. He's near you. He's not behind the cloud. He's at full noonday, showering his rays of sunshine, of favor upon you. He doesn't try to make himself difficult to be found. His presence is with you as is the sun that is with you. Do you know when the sun is out, it doesn't matter if you go to the grocery store, you go to the hardware store, or you drive all the way across town. The sun is shining upon you wherever thou goest. Matthew Henry wrote it this way: we cannot but be happy if we have God's love, and we cannot but be at ease if we know that we have it. He is turned toward you, brothers and sisters. Not away from you, but toward you, like the shining sun. And because his face is shining down upon your life, having chosen to deal kindly with you in his love, you are assured that you're a recipient of his grace. That's the reality that that speaks to. His grace. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. That's what that means. His disposition to you is one of favor. It's one of blessing, not cursing. It's one of graciousness, like the sunshine shining toward you. The Lord bestows upon you grace. He deals with you not as an enemy, but as a friend. He deals with you not as a stranger, but as his own child. He's delicate with your heart as a good shepherd is with a lamb. And like the hounds of heaven, his goodness and his mercy will track you down. You see. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants you to hear that. Every Lord's Day. He wants you to know that every time that you're in his presence. Every time that you are in his presence. But he goes on to the last one and says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord wants you to know his disposition to you. You know, they say that facial expressions can speak much louder than even words. Depending on what expression might be on one's face, you can tell if someone's sad, or if someone's angry, or if someone's happy. Children, you may not be familiar with using the word very frequently of the word countenance. That's what a countenance is. It's the facial features. And you've probably looked at daddy, you've looked at mommy, and you've seen the downcast countenance where the cheeks are low and the lips are curved downward. But then you have this other countenance where the cheeks are high and the smile comes gazing. That's what the word countenance is really capturing. The Lord's countenance, the scripture is saying, is raised. It's lifted towards you, you see. That's what he says. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. This is not only connotes God's favor, but it especially connotes his pleasure. His pleasure. That's why he smiles upon thee with graciousness. Because he's pleased with you. How remarkable that God would find pleasure in any son of Adam. But oh, how even the very youngest child, the very youngest child's heart, even if that child can't speak yet, can be moved, I mean actually moved, by knowing the countenance of that parent is lifted towards her or towards him, that there's pleasure that that parent child finds in that child. It can move even the youngest child's heart, can it? To see that countenance lifted. You see, the Lord's disposition towards you is one of pleasure, not one of disappointment, one of love, not one of hate. He delights in thee. And what does a father do for a child in whom he delights? Bene. All things good. All things well. That's your heavenly Father. And he wants you to hear and to know each time that you're in his presence that that's true. You need to hear it. I need to hear it. And when the Lord's countenance is lifted towards us, what does that give us final assurance of? What does it mean at its depth? Peace. Peace. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The word there, shalom. Well-being, it's actually a very comprehensive word. It means completeness. It means fullness. It means tranquility. It means contentment. Wholeness. It's like when Jesus, after his resurrection, he came into that upper room where his disciples were. Every single one of them had departed. Every single one of them had defected, right? They had every reason to expect Jesus to come in and if anything, say, shame on you. You left me at my most difficult hour of my life. I was before the tribunal, and where were you? Didn't you say that you were going to give your life for me? But what does Jesus say when he walks into the room and they're dumbfounded that Jesus is before them? He says, shalom, peace, peace be unto you. It's in the presence of the Lord Jesus, who is all forgiving, all merciful, all gracious, there's peace. There's shalom. He comes into our hearts of sin and he speaks peace. He comes into our lives that are filled with confusion and sufferings and he says, like he did in the storm, peace, be still, and it is still. He can still the soul like none other. And he wants you to hear and know this every time that you're in his presence. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now. Now look at verse 27. Verse 27. So they shall, it's Aaron and his sons, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, what's being done through this declaratory benediction? He says that he's placing his name upon his people. Now, in the ancient world, there was no confusion over what that meant. It spoke primarily to ownership. Ownership. In other words, the Lord is saying to his people, you are mine. You're mine. You're mine. Aren't those precious words, brothers and sisters? The Lord says to you each Lord's Day, you are mine. There's such potency in that little statement. You are mine. And this allows you to say, I'm not my own. I'm his. I'm his. I'm his. Because you are mine, I bless you and I keep you. Because you are mine, my face shines upon you and I'm gracious to you. Because you're mine, my countenance is lifted. I give you my peace. A peace that this world cannot offer you. A A peace that not even your spouse can give you. A peace that surpasses understanding. If you recall the context of this event here in the sixth chapter of Numbers, you know that it is taking place during the wilderness journey of God's people to Canaan. They're not there yet. They faced uncertain hostility. They faced uncertain threats. Much like our lives, would you not agree? As we journey to the heavenly Canaan, by faith and not by sight, dependent upon the Lord and not upon ourselves, a journey that's rife with difficulty, that's rife with threats, that's rife with all kinds of danger. We are in need of God's blessing as much as the children of Israel at that time were in need of hearing God's blessing. And you know what one might think? One might think, under the circumstances, God's people would be truly blessed of the Lord if He would give them water. That they would be blessed if He gave them weapons to defend themselves and gave them tools in order to build and etc., etc., etc. But what is the way that God chooses in His own wisdom to bless His people? Notice verse 23. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them. Say to them. Speak to them. Say. God has chosen to bless through speech. It might seem absurd to the natural eye. It might seem, what a strange form in which the blessing comes. But God in His wisdom has chosen speech to administer blessing. Isn't that remarkable? Who are we to doubt God or question God? It's His chosen divine method, His chosen conduit through which He bestows blessing. Say to them. Isn't that remarkable? The 12 disciples, when Jesus, whom they had given their whole lives to follow, had been taken away from them through brutal persecution. Can you imagine the sadness of their hearts? Here Jesus was with them. They were following Him gladly and joyfully. And now He's dead. So upon Jesus' resurrection, wow, to their delight, to invoke the same scene that I just alluded to a moment ago, Jesus walks into the upper room and says, Shalom. Oh, what delight they have that Jesus is now back with them in His resurrected state. But what word are they given? I'm not staying. I'm going to leave again. I'm going unto glory to be with my Father. But before Jesus left them, now watch this, before Jesus left them, upon the very last moment that they would ever have with Him on earth, ever again. This is what we read at the close of Luke. Then Jesus led them as far as Bethany, and lifting up His hands, He blessed them. And then He ascended into heaven. He left them, watch this, with one final action. The final act of Jesus before He ascended was to raise His hands and bless. In other words, his final action was a benediction. Isn't that remarkable? His final action, his final word to his disciples, his precious 12, is a benediction. If you are not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and you do not love Christ, if you've not laid down your heart and said, I have nothing. I have no righteousness. I have no bene. I have no good inside of me. I need thee, Christ Jesus, as my Savior, the one who bore my sin, the one who took upon himself what I deserve. If you have not embraced that Christ as your Savior, hear these disturbing words. No bene. No blessing. No good. No favor. No grace. Nothing. Curse is all that you can hear. If you do not embrace Christ as Savior, all God has for you is curse and not blessing. What a disturbing word to hear. There's no promise that you see here in Numbers 6. But to one who is a disciple of Christ and finds in Him all that they need, the only Savior, the only hope that I have a forgiveness of my sins found in Christ Jesus, my resurrected Lord, who's in the presence of the Father bearing my name and in my stead. Blessing. Grace. Lifted countenance. Like sunshine rays, His face is turned toward you. And you receive blessing upon top of blessing. And every Lord's Day, not only through the preached word and through the visible word, but also through the benediction, you receive blessing. It's just the way God has ordained it. It seems odd that wine and bread, God would use them as means of building up my faith, strengthening my heart, that He would use the preached word to transform one from death to life, to transform one from weak faith to strong faith, that He would use a spoken blessing as a conduit of Him bestowing blessing. Praise be to God for it. Because you see, on the other side of Jesus' ascension, let's go there now. On the other side of Jesus' ascension, what do we find to be the practice that is continued into the New Testament? The practice of blessing continues. Because in every single one of Paul's letters, without exception, no exceptions, every single letter, we find his blessing the church. With what words, interestingly enough? Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What about that other great apostle, the apostle Peter? Not one, but both of his letters that are part of our canon. What is it that he's intent on doing and bringing to the church? He blesses the church with speech, grace, and peace. To you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These declarations are undoubtedly built upon the Arianic blessing that we find right here in front of us, brothers and sisters. Right here in Numbers chapter 6. That's why you hear the echo of the apostles. That's why you hear those same words, grace and peace. They're derivations of Numbers 6. God continues to pronounce blessing upon his people. And it comes not in the form of curse. comes in the form of blessing. It comes in the form of grace. And each Lord's Day, we are called by the Lord to worship Him. And what is worship? Worship is a dialogue between a divine being and His human people. He speaks and we respond. It's His conversation. He gives us the privilege of being called to a conversation that He's going to start. But not only does He start it, not only does He have the first word in the call to worship, but He has the final word, the benediction. He starts the conversation and He ends the conversation. He speaks, we respond. He speaks, we respond. And then He closes out that final word. Hear this, brothers and sisters. That final word is not a malediction. And never will you hear a malediction from this pulpit to God's people. It always, from now until the return of Christ, you will hear declared unto you, benediction. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are indeed a blessed people. Blessed only because of your dear beloved Son, that one who performed that perfect work of redemption for us, so that we may not be cursed, but we may receive blessing. And we know, Father, that the blessing of old that came to the people of old is the same way that we receive blessing here in the new covenant. It all comes through blood. All comes through that Lamb. Never has your blessing been separated from the work of Aaron and his sons in sacrifice. The very ones who pronounced blessing were the very ones who got their hands bloody in sacrificial work, sacrificing animals as precursors of the great I Am, the great God-man, who would lay down His life as a definitive work of redemption, securing an eternal redemption for us, going into the most holy place, heaven itself, a tabernacle not made with hands, for us, so that we may hear those glorious words, to us sinners, saved by grace, blessed are you. We pray all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, people of God, let us stand now and receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore. Amen and amen.